So what was going on in 1776, you may be asking? Inquiring minds want to know. Well, to get to that, we have to go back to 1766 and what became known as the Intolerable Acts. Some called them the Townshend Acts. Some of these things run together, and that's because they were given different names, Townshend Acts, Intolerable Acts. Somebody may go in the chat room and say, miniatures, please, the Townshend and Intolerable Acts are two separate things. Well, they overlap. Well, what was happening was basically is that Parliament in London was fighting wars with many on many fronts, fighting wars with the Dutch for one thing, fighting wars with the French, which never seemed to end, and were trying to stave off invasions. This was a very expensive task to fight these wars. Remember. In 1776, the United Kingdom, it would have been said about that time that the sun never set on the British Empire, that it had ships and men and settlers and colonies and in the four corners of the globe, as it was known at that time. Well, this became very expensive to maintain, especially here in America, as many colonists wanted to move west and met opposition from the people that claimed that they were here first. You know them today as the ancestors of Elizabeth Warren, 1/1024th of them, as American Indians, Native Americans, whatever you want to call them. There were wars that were fought on these Western fronts, and it was to the British military, to the Redcoats, that Americans would turn to for military assistance, even though we had militias. You know, there's a very famous incidents. If you get the book that I put back into print from Washington Irving, Life of Washington, Volume 1, if you get Volume 1, there is detailed in Volume 1 George Washington's stint in the continent in the Virginia militia as a young man, as a lieutenant colonel. And he didn't do so good of a job on that Western front in what today we would call the French and Indian War. So it was becoming very expensive to maintain this huge navy. You think we have a big navy? The Brits actually had you're talking probably the biggest navy in the per capita, if you will, in the history of the world belong to the British Empire. So, where could they get resources from? Well, as we say all the time here on the Mike Church Show and on the Crusade Channel, there's one thing that America is not short of, and it's resources. We have the resources here to make anything, almost anything, unless you're looking for rare earth magnets. So, the theory was that American colonists could be taxed because, well, we just take 10% or whatever it was of what they have. They can make it. They got all kind of resources there. Mitter colonists, please. Well, some rabble rousers in Boston, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and South Carolina didn't like that. And they resisted all throughout the 1760s to the point in the early 1770s, the king started repealing his own acts. So he said, all right, guys, I get the memo. I got the memo. I understand the policy. No need to send me another parchment paper TPS report or TPS memo. I got the memo. It didn't matter. What was set in motion was set in motion. So by the time 1774 rolls around, the American colonists have formed what's called, and I suggest that we need to do this today, have formed what was then called committees of correspondence. And the committees of correspondence had a very relatable task that we can relate to today. They met together in taverns, and being successful, wealthy, well-respected, well-regarded, many of them elected to whatever legislature they had in their respective state. They knew the issues and the problems that taxation and British occupancy, in some instances, were causing. And they would get together in these committees of correspondence, and they would write letters. And they would exchange letters between each other. They were basically big bitch sessions. Well, you don't know what it's like to live here in Boston under this tea tax. And in South Carolina would have been other crop taxes, and there'd have been tobacco taxes and taxes on sugar and what have you. So the committees of correspondence served a very important purpose. And that is that they put men that thought similarly together on the same page against a common enemy. Folks, we have a common enemy today. Now, most people are going to immediately go, Minister Church, yeah, it's the Leviathan, the federal government. No, it's just government. This is what you got to understand. Things have changed since the Patriot Act in 2001, that act of tyranny. Things have changed since the NDAA. They have all been codified and are now part of daily life. There's no getting rid of them, apparently. What has now happened is you combine the horrible civil abuses of civil liberty contained in the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. You combine that with a state legislator or a state legislature or a governor-ordered act that uses some of those two technologies and practices that are put in place, where are you going to go? It's like that clip I played from my dinner with Andre. I keep telling Chiquita that maybe we should be like Jews in Germany in the late 1930s and get out. Of course, the problem is where to go, because it looks like everyone's moving in the same direction. Folks, we face today an unprecedented foe on this continent, unlike any that any American, regardless of when they got here, regardless of century, regardless of station in life, we face a foe today that is unlike any foe ever faced. In some instances, it's invisible. In some instances, it's visible. But in all instances, it is malicious. In all instances, it is rapacious. In all instances, it does not recognize any boundaries or limits upon its own authority other than what it imposes. That is a recipe for disaster. You and I are living that disaster. For the sake of our little children's and grandchildren's, time to act is now before they pull the trigger on version 2.0 of COVID Karen and house arrest, lockdowns, whatever you want to call them. Folks, the Corona Stasi are coming. And here's the worst part about it. They keep telling us they're coming. It's not like they're trying to hide it. This isn't a surprise or a sneak attack. This is happening in broad daylight. And here, you want me to add insult to injury? It is happening with the approval of a majority. Richard Barrett had a poll the other day on the Barrett Brief that some 70% of Americans told Gallup, I think, if I remember correctly, told the Gallup organization they were tickled pink like pigs in slop over the state-ordered house arrest, lockdowns, whatever your quarantines, whatever the hell you want to call them. Obviously, that means that 70% of those people, if they do own, if they are that middle-class businessman I've been telling you is the target of all this, they didn't really care. Maybe they inherited the business from a parent or something like that. They weren't really working at it for independence. They were working at it for them because it was a job. The only people that really care about this are people that work at this because it's a vocation, because they love to do it and they don't want it taken away by these stinking governments.
I don't even think that percentage of people own their own business. I think that's the percentage of people that work for someone else. They don't have to worry about their American dream going down the tube because they think someone else is going to take care of them.
Mrs. O'Connell is correct. Does anyone that does that, here, I'll give you an example. Does anyone that lives in my neighborhood in Madisonville, Louisiana, that doesn't listen to the Crusade Channel, the Mike Church Show, but might know that we have such an entity, that I actually give a rat's furry behind whether or not these lights turn on any given day, or whether or not we broadcast the truth, or that we ply our craft of being merchants of fine handmade products that we love sharing with all of you guys, works from our listeners and from friends. Do you think they actually care about that? No. To them, I am inert. I don't exist. And so do all the people like me. This is a huge problem. Now, after they have what they think is their freedom taken away from them, then they'll care about it. Too late. Sorry, that's not how the game is played. Do you not think for our friends in Pennsylvania, the Beemans, for example? Boy, the chat room is just population-wise. Where are you people? You're missing it. They're not working today, Mrs. O'Connell. It's a holiday.
No, this week is the first week for most people to be back at work.
Nah. CrusadeChannel.com/chat. Do you not think that most people that you are fellow citizens with, that they actually think that what their governor has done is the greatest thing in the history of the world? He saved so many lives. No, he didn't. There is no evidence that a house arrest, quarantine, whatever you want to call it, lockdown, stay safe, stay home. There is no evidence whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the evidence is now mounting that it didn't save any lives, and it's going to cost many lives in the future because herd immunity was avoided.